Shalom, everybody. Our class tonight, we're going to see Rav Kook continue in the Gemara on Masechet Shabbat, Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Bet, the famous story about what have the Romans done for us. And I mentioned last time that I remember this from my childhood as a Monty Python skit, and Davka, it's a very, very interesting what Professor Daniel Kahneman, the Nobel Prize winner, one of the Israeli Nobel Prize winners, what he does with this story. All right, what we saw last time is that Rabbi Yehuda says he praises the Romans for building us bathhouses and bridges and marketplaces. That's Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yossi remains silent. He doesn't want to praise the Romans. He doesn't want to talk against. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. And Rabbi Shum Bar Yochai, he says, what are you talking about? How can you praise the Romans? Everything that they do is for the bad, and they do it for themselves. And in fact, Professor Kahneman, he talks about how there are really two systems of thought. System number one is that of Rabbi Shum Bar Yochai, where... No, I didn't turn on the screen yet. Oh. Okay. Yeah, we were asked for everyone to please mute themselves. Okay. System number one, a system way of thinking number one, is that of Rabbi Shum Bar Yochai, where you think quickly... And you accept things at their face value, and your instant emotion is to say, no, the Romans are bad. And then, very often, we think a slower system, system two of thinking. We think it out, and it takes longer, and it's more deliberate. And we see, and that's Rabbi Yehuda, who says, nevertheless, there were things that the Romans did that are good for us. And in fact, in the Monty Python sketch, the guy starts out, they change the order of the Gemara. And the guy says, what have the Romans done for us? Nothing. That is the first reaction. And then comes the more deliberate reaction. Somebody says, well, they built aqueducts. And then somebody says, well, they built marketplaces. And then somebody adds, well, they added to the economy. And they just keep adding more and more. And that is, the longer you think about something, the more you see that it's complex, that even in the bad, there is some good. Now, what we're going to talk about today is Rabbi Yossi, who's right in the middle. Rabbi Yossi sees the advantages that Rabbi Yehuda saw, that the Romans do help us somewhat. He sees the problems that the Romans bring, that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai sees. And what Rabbi Yossi, in the end, what he does, he remains silent. Because he is relating to this duality. And that's what we're going to see today. That's the background of the Gemara, which we saw last time. And just did a quick review. And what we're going to see now is the share screen. Oh no, where did it go? Hold on. Okay. Okay, hopefully we can get into the share screen with the source sheet. Here we go. Okay. So we went through the Gemara, and now we'll see what Rav Kook has to say about it. Paragraph 2. This is paragraph Resh Samech 260 in chapter 2 of Enaya on the Gemara. Rav Kook writes as follows, Rabbi Yossi shatak, Rabbi Yossi remained silent. Again, he didn't want to praise the Romans, and he didn't want to speak against them. I started saying before that it's interesting that even though the gut reaction may be like Rabbi Shum Bar Yochai, the Gemara puts Rabbi Yehuda first, and actually says that his reward that the Romans gave him is that he is the first speaker. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda is able to think very deeply and deliberately, but quick. And that is the best of both worlds. Anyway, Rabbi Yossi sees the complexity of the issue. Kisholechet pula tova mimakor sheino hagun. When something good comes out of something negative, let's already foreshadow that this is a very common problem that Rav Kook relates to a lot. Zionism, which is one of the biggest topics in the writings of Rav Kook, we have to admit that Zionism came from a negative place, whether it be Herzl or Lilienblum or Ochad HaAm. A lot of the big Zionist thinkers, and for sure the activists, were not religious at all. And here you have something bad, something good coming from a bad source. Another classic example in Rav Kook's biography is his relation to the Hebrew University, where he was invited by Chaim Weizmann to speak at the Hebrew University. And I actually had the zchut of publishing some additional sources that really proved that Rav Kook had very high hopes for the Hebrew University, and that Chaim Weizmann had promised him that they wouldn't study Bible criticism there. But what does Rav Kook say there? He brings a pasuk in Yeshayahu, Upachad v'rachav levavich. You should be scared and also happy together. And that is Rav Kook's approach to what to do when the good ideas come from a problematic source. O afilu, az afilu, im lo nuchal lakhish et hatov hayotze mehapeula, if we cannot speak against the goodness, the idea of having a Jewish university, the idea of Zionism and the Jewish people returning to our land and reviving the Hebrew language and reviving Jewish gvura, physical strength. We can't deny the good. Mikom akum inenu tamid shruyim bepachad. Here it is again. We have to be scared. We have to be very careful. Don't just jump into something when the source is problematic, because you have to make sure to take the good without taking the bad. Shelo yitgaber hatzad hara shel hanetiya pnimit v'yavi shoah v'ra'ah harbe yoter me'atov hayotze al yedei ha'peula tova. This, in fact, is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, how can you praise the Romans and their marketplaces and their coins and their bathhouses? Everything they do is bad because they are bad. Al ken, e efshar limchot ala tova toelet. Here Rav Kook is at his best, as we've seen very often. Classic Rav Kook, for sure in our work, Enaya, is first he gives a thesis, then he gives the antithesis or antithesis, and then synthesis, he combines the two. And that's what he's saying here. On the first hand, you can't deny that it's good. On the other hand, there are problems in the people or in the ideology or in the nation who are bringing these ideas that they are bad. On the first hand, again, you can't deny reality. And you have to have your feet on the ground, even if, like the Rambam writes in Moreh Nevuchim and the God for the Perplexed, that the ideal Jew has his feet on the ground and his head is in the heavens. And what is the job of the ladder? The ladder bridges the heavens and the earth. The ladder bridges dream and reality, as Rav Kook writes in Orot. That is the goal of life. To bridge dream and reality, but not to be naive. Because somebody who wants to take his dreams really seriously, you can't be naive. You have to have your feet on the ground. And you can't, it's, for example, like Agudat Yisrael, we spoke about recently, that originally Agudat Yisrael, the Haredim, officially were Neturei Karta. They said, you're not allowed to have anything Zionist until the coming of the Mashiach. You're not allowed to take any national steps towards having a national state. And they were against the Balfour Declaration. And as a matter of fact, Balfour himself was very confused when they told him that Orthodox Jews who are supposed to be the most religious, and he thought they would be the happiest of Magshim to realize the biblical dreams of coming back to the land of Israel. He was really confused because Agudat Yisrael said, no, we don't want the Balfour Declaration. And we want to wait for Mashiach. But what changed everything was World War II. When Agudat Yisrael officially changed their policy and they admitted, we were wrong. We need a Jewish state. And that's the only way that they will let us into the land of Israel. And we need a Jewish army. That is the only answer to never again. And again, it all gets back to the point of don't deny reality. Don't deny the good in reality, and also don't deny the problematic source if it is such. Aval I efshar gam ken lismoach. How can you not be happy, even if the state of Israel is not ideal, for example? How can you not celebrate Yom HaTzma'ut? B'mashu nasa al yedei oto hakoach, shemitzar atzmo hu kulo ra. V'omed lashkit tevel umloa. And here comes the other side again. Again, don't deny the good, but also don't be naive, and don't deny the bad. Al ken, yis'aru Gale Halev. A person is torn, has storms going on inside his heart. Veregesh hakara elatov me'ever mizeh. To recognize the good, and also, by the way, to thank God for the good, because everything that goes on in the world is godly. And the same thing with modernism, and the same thing with the vaccination for corona, and all of that is God sent. Ima rega shel achizyon al klal arisha shemitchazeket b'chol zot davka al yedei hatov hamurgash achitzona me'ivra mizeh. And here Rav Kook is adding a new point to the side of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, to be against the Romans and their bridges. Why? Because the good is misleading, and the bad becomes stronger as a result of the good. And even the evil will become stronger as a result of the good. That people are going to start praising the Romans and copying the Romans. And, again, that's a problem. Urgashot ele hinam nilchamim ze im ze. These feelings of recognizing and thanking God for the good and taking the good from the goyim, and on the other hand, actually being scared of their problematic source, so that should not influence us. Ad shalev nidchak ve'iyav shalo ledaber davar. Until we are so pressured from the right side and from the left, from the good and from the bad, that we cannot even react. Alken Rabbi Yossi shatak. And that is why Rabbi Yossi was silent. Rabbi Yossi did not praise the Romans and their actions, even their good actions, because he realized that they're also bad. But he didn't curse them, because we should take the good from the bad. Now, this idea of taking the good from the bad is... Yeah, everyone please mute themselves. Thank you. This idea of that the world is not black and white, and that good and bad can go together, is a major concept in the writings of Rav Kook, and it's a level of maturity, because by young children, you don't let them experiment with things that might lead them wrong. Okay, can everybody please mute themselves?
Can you mute everyone as the host?
I don't know, can I?
I think you're supposed to be allowed to. I don't know how.
Svia, you want to come and show me how to do it?
I've come to the rescue.
Okay, where is it?
Here, participants. Go to participants.
Yeah, exactly. Mute. Here we go. Yeah. Here, we did.
No. I think you do it.
Mute all. Yeah, mute all.
You do mute all, but you... All right.
Can you hear me now? Do you hear me? Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Let's go back to the sheet. Again, there it takes a certain amount of maturity to know how to differentiate between the good and the bad. Oh, wow. We lost our tape. Hold on. Oh, here we are. Let's look together in Source 3, in Arpalei Toar, page 132, where Rav Kook writes, Bechol chet ve'avon, bechol harisa, bechol deya kozevet, in every sin, in every destructive idea, in every destructive movement, bechol deya kozevet, in every false opinion, yesh nitzotz shel tov v'shel kedusha idealit. There is a spark of good. And as Rav Kook writes in one of his letters, people aren't stupid. When people followed communism, and a lot of Jews did follow communism in Eastern Europe, when people followed communism, they were not following it for the bad and for the sheker, for the lies of communism. They were following it for that good spark. The same thing with democracy. The same thing with socialism. The same thing with humanism. The same thing with feminism. The same thing with every ism in the world. There is goodness. Tzadikei hadorot, and the job of the righteous in every generation, oto atov emarchivim beavodat kodesh amachshavit atzilit. Their role and their goal is to take out the good from the bad. Shechalakim kalim mimena mitgalim lifamim b'maaseh. Right? And it is very easy to mistake. This also is the direction of the famous Gemara, which I imagine most of you know. I brought for you in Source 4, the Gemara Masechet Chagiga, Daf Tedvav, which tells about Rebbe Meir, who was a student of Elisha ben Avuya, Acher. We all remember that Elisha ben Avuya was a great Talmudic scholar, Tana to be exact, and he left the Derech. And Rebbe Meir, nevertheless, even though his teacher, his Rebbe, wasn't religious anymore, Rebbe Meir continued to learn from him. As the Gemara says, Rebbe Meir rimon matzah. He saw it as finding a pomegranate. Tocho achal, where you eat the fruit of the pomegranate. Klipato zarak, and you throw out the peel. By the way, notice, if you ever wanted to know, are you supposed to swallow the seeds or not? I guess in the olden days they used to swallow the seeds of the pomegranate. Supposedly it's good for your digestive system and for your sugar. To have that, it's like bran. On the other hand, you throw out the klipa, you throw out the shell, the peel. But who is this talking about? Rebbe Meir. Not everyone, and the Gemara there says, not everyone can do that. A lot of people, if they get involved in a negative movement, they end up being influenced for the bad. And it takes a Rebbe Meir, and it takes a Rebbe Yehuda in our Gemara, to be able to take out the fruit and to spit out the negative. The Gemara Masechet Pesachim that I brought for you in Source 5, Daf Nun Amud Aleph, a similar idea. Amar Rabbi Acha bar Chanina, lo kol lama ze olam haba. The world as we know it now is not like it will be in the future. Ha'olam haze al besorot tovot omer baruch hatov ha'metiv, val besorot ra'ot omer baruch dayan ha'emet. We all know that there is a bracha when you hear good news. We say, baruch ata Hashem Elokeinu melech ha'olam, hatov ha'metiv, he is good and he gives good. And on bad news, we make the bracha of Dayan HaEmet. If somebody dies, Chas V'Shalom, you say the same bracha, that God is a true judge. Now, what is the idea? Continues the Gemara, Lo'olam haba kulo atov v'metiv. If we really believe that everything that God does is for the best, as Rabbi Akiva and Nachumish Gamzu say, Gamzu le'tova, everything that happens, you have to say, It's all for the best. Everything God does is for the best. Nevertheless, that is in the future. As the world is today, don't be naive and don't pretend that you enjoy the bad if it's bad. You have to make the exact bracha. We are not on the level that we will be in Yemot HaMashiach, in the Messianic era, where we will be able to see the good even in the bad. By the way, this is a very important klal in the laws of brachot. For example, my mother, what did she used to do with the leftover challah after Shabbat? It's a famous trick. She would make a kugel, add apples, raisins, cinnamon. And then what bracha do you make on the kugel? You don't make hamotzi lechem min haaretz anymore because it doesn't look like bread. You make the bracha on how it is now. Now it is borei minei mezonot. It's a kugel. It's not bread. The same thing regarding applesauce, right? You all know that if somebody as you could buy, by the way, different types of applesauce. There's applesauce which is ground very finely. There's applesauce which has chunks in it. If you see the chunks, you make a borei priya etz because it still is like its original form. It's recognizable. On the other hand, if it's mushed so much, like Gerber applesauce for babies, or anybody, chas v'shalom, you should never be in the hospital, but that's the applesauce that they give in the hospital. I think it's so liquidy you could give it intravenously. Maybe they purposely water it down so that everybody could swallow it, I don't know. But if it is really liquidy applesauce, you don't make borei priya etz on it anymore. You make a shakonia bidvarom. Because you make a bracha on the present status. I'll mention parenthetically, there's a famous question a lot of people ask. Why do women make the bracha of She'asani Kiritzono? That God, we bless God that He made us as He wished. Men make the bracha Shelo Asani Isha, that God did not make me a woman. And if you look in the commentaries, and Rav Tzvi Yehuda goes in this direction, he says that in the world as we know it today, it's not ideal. The ideal world is to appreciate men and manliness and woman and femininity as equal. Both are beautiful. Both are necessary. But the world as it is today, and I think in America, even of the 21st century, it's still that way, men are still considered first class simply because in the Western world, they judge a person by how much money he makes. And on the average, in every country in the world, men make more money because they don't take off time for the family or for the children. And Rav Tzvi Yehuda says that really is wrong. In Yemot HaMashiach, men and women will be making the same bracha. But as it is now, you can't pretend that men and women are equal. And that's how he explains, because that is all of Hilchot Brachot. Just like you can't pretend that the challah, what used to be challah, is still challah. It isn't. You make the bracha on where it is now. And that's why we don't pretend. Spirituality, godliness, mitzvot, it has to be real. Nothing should be more real than Torah and mitzvot. And therefore, we can't pretend that we're happy if chas v'shalom somebody dies. Yeah, we believe that it's all for the best. And yeah, we believe that olam haba, the world to come, is better than this world. And nevertheless, if you're not happy, don't pretend that you're happy. Make the bracha as you are on it. Okay, this we see in Rav Kook, in source number 6 as well, getting back to the source sheet, where Rav Kook talks about Yemot HaMashiach. And that is exactly what we saw now in Masechet Pesachim, where it says that in the ideal world, in the Messianic era, we will see the bad, we will see the good even in the bad. And we will make the bracha tova metiv even when something seems at face value bad. Because we will mature. And a mature person doesn't accept things as they are. He looks deeper. Rav Kook writes in one of his igrot, in Igeret Shin Lamed Bet, V'shorash Yisrael hu kadosh v'tov muchan letzedek v'yosher. The Jewish people are inherently good. And even if you see a Jew who's not acting properly, inside he really is good, and that is really who we are. Shehu be'emet dat Hashem ba'olam. And this is really how God created the world. The entire world is really created for good. Hashem is perfect, and He created a good world. But again, we don't always see it on the outside. And that's what Rav Kook is saying in our paragraph tonight. Don't be naive, recognize the bad, but also don't ignore the good. Use the good for good, and thank God for the good, even if the source of it may be bad. V'zehu sod ani v'rochev al chamor. Rav Kook says, this is the secret, the deeper meaning, when the Navi Yeshayahu tells us that the Messiah will come as a poor man riding on a donkey. Why on a donkey? So the common explanation is that donkeys move slowly, and that the Messianic era, as we see over the last century, it is a slow but sure movement. The Mashiach doesn't come in one day and solve everyone's problems. That's the common explanation. But Rav Kook says it's deeper than that. She'amru batikunei Zohar. Chazal tell us in the Kabbalah, Shehu dara de'ikva de'meshicha, that in the generations preceding the redemption, de'utav milegav ubish milabar, Am Yisrael will be good inside, but bad outside. Rav Kook here is referring to the chalutzim, who inside, they were very idealistic. Outside, though, they didn't wear kippot, they didn't observe Shabbat, most of them didn't fast on Yom Kippur, and that is how Rav Kook is explaining this quote from the Zohar, that is what the Messianic world is about. Sod kulo afach lavon tahor. And this is the secret that in the tzara'at, in leprosy, if all of a person turns white, then he is pure. Because if a person is totally bad, there's no such thing as anything which is totally bad. And the Kohen will purify him, even though externally he looks totally tameh. V'chamor, what is the symbolism of the chamor, of the donkey? Afal pi sheyesh bo simanei tuma yoter mishar beimot tmeot. The donkey is externally more unkosher than the pig. Because the pig, externally, he has split hooves. The donkey doesn't have split hooves. He doesn't chew his cud. The donkey is totally non-kosher. He doesn't even have one kosher sign. Shemehen nimtzot sheyesh lem siman tara echad, as opposed to the pig who has one kosher sign. Mikol makom yesh betochiyuto kedusha. The chidush of the donkey, what does it mean the Mashiach will come on a donkey? Because the donkey has inside him a hidden holiness. Shareyu kadosh bibechora. There is a specific mitzvah regarding donkeys in the Torah. All of you know that if a cow, if a goat, if a sheep gives birth, the firstborn is holy and goes to the Kohen. If a non-kosher animal gives birth, then the firstborn is not holy, except for a donkey. A donkey, for a weird reason, his firstborn has holy inside. You cannot give him to the Kohen, but you have to redeem him, and then you bring him to Yerushalayim. Elashi genuza umusteret ma'od. That the holiness of the donkey is hidden inside. And that is what the Mashiach is about. By the way, some of you may remember the Gemara in Sanhedrin that says that the Mashiach will be able to smell and tell you if something is kosher or not. What does it mean to smell if something is kosher? To smell something is not to look externally, not to look outwardly, is it good or bad, but to see internally the good in the chalutzim, the good in Eliezer ben Yehuda. Rav Kook even saw the good in Spinoza. Rav Kook saw even the good in Jesus. Rav Kook saw the good in everyone and everything. V'sofa ligalot al yado, ki ima, and that is the idea of redeeming the holiness of the chamor, where we redeem that internal holiness, take the coin, and bring that to Jerusalem, to the Beit HaMikdash. It's very difficult to explain this with all of their depth. To learned people, to those who understand the depths of the Torah, like you people here, we are learning the depths of the Torah, it takes maturity to be able to suck the juice and the fruit and to leave the peel, like Rebbe Meir. And what Rav Kook is telling us is that this is what the generation of the Geula has to do. On what is it based? Rav Kook writes in Source 7. It's what? It's muted? Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you just fine.
Okay.
There was a moment where you had paused.
Okay, thank you.
It was frozen a bit, okay.
Source number 7. Rav Kook writes in Orot, page Peivav. Orot Shel Mashiach, again, what is the light of Mashiach that we're discussing? That in the future of the world, everyone will just make the bracha of Atov V'Ameitiv, even on the bad, because we will know how to look maturely and take the good and see the good and the bad. Orosho Mashiach yivases et havada'ut shel Atov hagamur shebahavaya bichlal. The light of Mashiach believes in monotheism, real monotheism. God is so perfect, his world is perfect, and even that which seems to us to be bad is, as Rav Kook calls in Orot HaKodesh, Hatov Hamitave. It is good that you need patience until the good is revealed. There is good which you see, and there is good which is in the process of good. But if you believe in God, you have to believe that everything has inherent good in it. This is the idea of the Mashiach. This is the idea of what Rav Kook writes in source number 8, that says in the Zohar about the Mashiach that he takes everything and turns the dark into light. Chashicha lenoura, mariru lematika. He takes bitter and makes it sweet. Zota Torah chatim rav matai b'mitivta b'chala d'meshicha. This is the Torah which is learned in the time of Mashiach. In other words, we today are in the Messianic era, and we have to get used to looking and seeing the good and taking the good from each and every person and each and every idea. A practical example I brought for you. Let's see a practical example in source number 10, where Rav Kook talks about Am Yisrael. And as we saw before, the nation of Israel is totally good. Kulach yafa rayati u'mumein bach. All of Am Yisrael is good. All of Am Yisrael is godly. And that's why we say in Kol Nidre that we want to daven litpalil ima varyanim. We daven with the sinners, because even the sinners of Am Yisrael, they are godly. They are part of the holy people of Israel. But, yes, we daven with the sinners, but that doesn't mean that we have to accept their crooked opinions. Again, don't be influenced by the bad, just take the good. Don't invite them to be our activists, to be our leaders. Because if a person is problematic, he is not supposed to be our leader. We are supposed to have religious, Zionist, activist leaders. And if somebody is coming and does something good, we applaud him, we thank him, we thank God. Nevertheless, those are not those who are supposed to be our leaders. Yes, we daven with the avaryanim, but we don't want them as our leaders. Put everything in its right proportion. Don't be naive. Don't overrate anything, and also don't underrate anything. V'achlal kolel et hakol. And when we say that we love Am Yisrael and that all of Am Yisrael is holy, we really mean everyone is holy. But that is not expressed by every single person in all of their actions in everyday life. Another example of a practical application of how Rav Kook applies this idea of taking the good from everyone. In a classic article, it appears in Ginzei HaRe'iya, page 78. It's a letter to, there were four rabbis who wrote anti-Zionist articles published in the year 1900, Tarfrei Samech. One of them was Rabbi Adler, the chief rabbi of England. And Rav Kook answers him point by point. I just took out the points that apply to our issue, which are a lot of points. And he says, "Uchmochein apikorsuto shel malal." When he talks about Lilienblum, who really was an apikoros, Rav Kook says, "I'm not naive. I know he's a heretic. Eina shayechet lichibatzi." And what does that have to do with loving the land of Israel? Rak sheyesh efshari likofer liyod gam ken tzioni. We don't love the land of Israel because of Lilienblum. We love the land of Israel because we love the land of Israel. Because it's holy, it's godly, it's historical, it's a mitzvah. The fact that Lilienblum and secular Zionist Herzl also like the land of Israel, that's good. Why should we tell them to stop doing that which they do, which is good? Right? He is not a heretic because of his Zionism, but despite his Zionism. Kmo sheyesh yecholet lekofer liyot zahir b'chol mitzvot shebein adam lechavero mipnei asechel v'animus. It's very possible that a modern person is moral, and he gives charity. What? I think most of the money that's donated to most of the Jewish tzedakahs are Jews who are not Orthodox. They're conservative, they're reform, they're unaffiliated. Just today, Sheldon Edelson passed away. And we have to mention, I don't know how religious he was, but he definitely did a lot of good to the Jewish people. And when a wealthy person donates you a shul, you accept it. When a wealthy person gives charity to a poor person, we accept it. Because not only do we accept it, we applaud it. Because what he does good is good. If a person puts on a tefillin shel yad and doesn't put on tefillin on his head, at least applaud and strengthen, give him positive reinforcement for that which he does good. Right? V'chi bishvil zeh na'azov ota anachnu? Right? If non-religious Jews give charity, so we religious Jews are going to stop giving charity? That's crazy. We give charity and we love the land of Israel because of the word of God. The fact that we overlap with Lilienblum and that we have a common interest when it comes to Zionism, that's good. But we are not and should not be influenced by the bad. Rav Kook says not only that. Many people, for example, Herzl, they were totally assimilated. Their Zionism is not bringing them further away from Torah and from the Jewish people. It's davar bringing them closer to the Jewish people. So focus on the good. Kol min shleimut v'atzlacha ben klalit ben prati drusha ishtadlut. Not only that. Everything in the world, man has to put in effort. And so too, the Messianic era. We have to take the hishtadlus. We have to do the step. And the same thing is true regarding working for a living. We don't wait for God to give us money. And the same thing is true regarding buying tefillin. We go out and buy it, and we work for a living so that we could buy. So the same thing with the geula. The fact that secular people may be more activists than religious people in the Zionist movement. Maybe that's because religious people are not doing what they should be. HaKadosh Baruch Hu oseh shlichuto yedei kol ma shebara b'olamo. In addition, God uses anyone and everything to be his shlichim, to be his messengers. God can use non-Jews to be his messengers. God can use non-religious Jews to be his messengers. Take the good, leave the bad. Halu'umiyut lohu chadasha. Also, nationalism. That's not new to us. V'chi kol ha'sipurim shebatanach migvurot malkenu, shofteinu, melacheinu, shofteinu, enam lumiyut meleya. Look at all the heroes of the Tanakh, all of our kings, all of the heroes, Samson and Gideon and Yiftach and Yoshua and Moshe Rabbeinu. They were also nationalist leaders. They were military leaders. They were political leaders. There's nothing wrong with Jewish statehood and Jewish politics. Kimilo yeda she'avat klal Yisrael dovar tov v'chovar rabah. To love the people of Israel is an obligation. So the fact that Zionists, secular Zionists, also love the people of Israel, that's great. That doesn't mean that we Orthodox should stop loving the people of Israel or the land of Israel. V'lochein asa Rambam zal she'afilu midivrei chachmei umot olam ha'kofrim lakachat dvarim ha'tovim. As the Rambam, he took philosophy from Aristotle. He took medicine from the non-Jews. Take the good and leave the bad. And especially in our generation, where the good, as Rav Kook writes, we don't have time to see it inside, in the land of Israel, that's in source number 8, the physical, even the materialistic, is also holy. And that is why today, we don't have to run away from the materialistic, we don't have to run away from secular, but to take the good, but again, don't be naive. The same thing, mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, settling in the land of Israel. V'chitshuat Yisrael in b'chlala gam ken kol ha'Torah kula v'chol ha'mitzvot. And what, the redemption of Israel is not a religious concept? Because the secular people are bringing the redemption, we're not going to accept the redemption? This is unthinkable. To summarize what we learned today, Rav Kook is explaining the opinion of Rebbe Yossi that there is a time not to just say everything is good, not to just say, well, they're all bad and let's stay away from them, but what is the role of the tzaddikim and what is the role of our generation in Yemot HaMashiach? To take the good and to leave the bad.